He came back to Antioch and reported to them what had happened while he'd been gone. We've been gone a little while, but not out of the country yet. I just want to catch you up with where we're at. We've got six more churches to preach to, share our work with. We have we will be leaving on the 26th of July. We already got our tickets purchased, and we'll be leaving on the 26th of July. My last time here with you will be the 20th of July. So if you want to say goodbye in service, it'll be the 20th of July. I will be here. And then after that, I'll be busy until we leave out on the 26th. We'll be coming home on September the 10th for the Covenant River Associational meeting. I'm the moderator of that meeting, and I'll be home for about a month during that time. I'll be able to report to you all, let you know how the first 7 weeks went. And we're going to start school. We're leaving on Tuesday. We're starting school on Tuesday as soon as we get to Belize. So our classes will begin as soon as we get there. And I'll be able to report to you how things are going when I get back in September. And then after Aaron and Gabby's wedding, we'll be going back to Belize. So Rochelle... Man, that hurt. That's not good for stroke victims. Rochelle has been setting up all my doctor's appointments for September, and if things go well, I won't have to see another one till the next September. So we're just asking for your prayers as we finalize things. We have a contract on the farm. We feel like the farm is sold, and as soon as everybody's got a place to stay, we'll put the house up for sale here in Danville. It's starting to look very empty. And the furniture's left goes to Aaron and Sarah, the furniture that's there now. So we're getting close. The good news, we have seven churches that's already voted to come on board to support us. And so we're over halfway of where we wanted to be. And I feel like the others will continue. So far, every church that has heard us share the word has voted eventually to support us. So we feel like that the rest of them will come on board as well, and our support should be what we need. So we've been able to save our love offering money. So the first 2 months we're going to live on it and let the account begin to build. Some churches have told me they've already mailed checks. I'm curious, Greg, are checks coming? Did the Bradley's Pleasure check come? Okay, so... White Oak, I got a phone call. White Oak voted to support us $500 a month, which was like very awesome to have happen. And that was a blessing. And so we just pray as we continue to make this. If you can tell, I'm starting to get very tired of traveling and running, but God's supplying everything we need, and we're trying to just get things completely done so we can make this new move. My plans are to go to Revelation 15 with you tonight. Only 8 verses. I will throw a verse or two from chapter 16 with it, and we'll consider both chapters covered. Now, if you're new to our Wednesday night Bible study, we have a map, timeline, that would probably be beneficial to you to have tonight to follow along where we're talking about in the end time. We're talking about the end time stuff, when Jesus comes back and takes us out of here, and what happens to the world, the tribulation, the mark of the beast, we're talking about all that kind of stuff. So if you do not have that timeline and would love to have one, you raise your hand and Aaron's going to come right up here real quick and bring you one. So Aaron, you come on because somebody's going to raise your hand, I'm sure. Who does not have a timeline who would like to have one? Don't be embarrassed. If you do not have one, we want you to have one so you'll know what we're talking about tonight. If you don't have one, he'll get you one. Anybody else? Raise your hand like so he can see you. If you had one and lost it, there's another one there. Get you another one. I started to make a picture of my desk and just let it be on the screen. It's organized kind of, the next 2 weeks, things I need to do. I'm the camp director, so I'm trying to get church camp together right now. So I've got piles. And Rochelle, if she doesn't divorce me over the next week and a half, we will be married for 70 years, I promise you. Because every time she goes there to touch something, I lose control because I know where that stack is supposed to be. Does anybody have piling systems? Mine is right now, so we hope that we get through all of it. Revelation 15. This is some good stuff tonight. So let me catch you up. Let me give you a quick 1 minute overview of Revelation. Revelation starts with the seven churches of Asia, which are past, and churches have already been, and those churches are not in existence today. Most of those churches are out of existence. The next big thing that will happen in the book of Revelation happens in chapter 4, and that's the rapture. We keep talking about a rapture when the trumpet sounds. You've been to funerals, and they talk about the dead in Christ rising first. Then we which are alive and remain be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so be with the Lord together in the air. That's what we're talking about. That happens in Revelation chapter 4. From Revelation chapter 4 to the end, the church does not appear anymore. The church is with the Lord in heaven. It will come back with the Lord to earth later. So we're somewhere in that middle ground. So he starts teaching us in Revelation with seven seals. How many remember seven seals? Not the ones that's on the beach, but the ones that seal stuff. Y'all with me? So he opens up one, he opens up two, opens up three. He opens all the way up to the number seven. When the seventh seal opens, there's seven trumpets that comes out of there. The seven trumpets, we've talked about those. We're at the seventh trumpet now, and now we're going to talk about the seven last plagues. So where are we at on the timeline? We're somewhere right in the middle of the tribulation, working ourselves to the end of the tribulation. And I've got a line drawn there, middle tribulation. Tribulation's how many years? So half of it would be what? You guys are smartest church I've preached to in a long time. So I'm telling you, we're somewhere between halfway, that's when the seventh trumpet starts, all the way to the end. The seventh trumpet goes from the middle all the way to the end. So the seventh trumpet has how many years combined with it? 3.5 years. So we're somewhere getting to the end, and we're actually at the end of the end. In the verses you're going to read tonight, Jesus kind of tells us we're at the end of the end. So this is what's going to happen next. How many believe that God will ever have enough? How many of you have ever had enough? Your camel's back has been broken. The word that the Scripture uses tonight in this word for wrath is almost the same word as the little jiggler on the top of a pressure cooker. Y'all know the little jiggler? What's the purpose of the jiggler? Huh? My granny always told me, if that thing quits jiggling, run, that thing's going to blow. I don't know if that's true or not, Automax, but when the jiggler was jiggling, we all was out of the house because I didn't want to be there when it didn't jiggle. But eventually, they tell me that those things can blow up. Now, I don't know. I've never met anybody that one blew up. How many's ever heard of one blowing up? So some of you've heard of that. So the word that's used here, Brother Keeney, is the same word, the word he used for wrath, is the same word as that jiggler that quits jiggling, and there's an explosion that takes place. So when the Bible talks about God's wrath, he's talking about God's punishment being poured out almost in an explosive way. Where? We need to know. If God's going to get mad, I want to know where He's going to get mad at. And who He's going to get mad at. So where's it happening at? In heaven? In hell? No. In earth, okay. I'm just making sure everybody's on the same page. So He's going to punish the earth. So let's talk about that just for a minute. How many of you tonight think God's happy with the way the world's going? You think God's happy with the decisions that are being made? Think He's happy with the... I'm so excited about the man trying to marry a computer. I hope he gets to do that. Have y'all heard about this, right? There's a guy, he's trying to marry his laptop computer. I think it's a pretty cool idea. And he's petitioned the government, and he's petitioning Kim Davis. She's in trouble again if she won't grant him a license to marry the computer. So I don't know how that all goes, but I hope it goes where he can marry the computer. I think that'd be awesome to get to marry computers and stuff. Next, you can marry your car and other things. But honestly, you think God's happy with this stuff? Do you think God's happy with how people treat Him? How about the people who claim they love God and how they treat God? So God, you believe, will have enough one day and like explode? That's exactly what the Bible talks about. The wrath of God. So what you're about to read tonight in chapter 16 is really taking place at the end of the tribulation period. And I want you to see the scene in these 8 verses of what happens. Verse number 1, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels of heaven, the 7, and I underline this phrase, the 7 what? For in them is filled up the what? We've been reading 7 trumpets, we've been reading 7 seals, but this time he tells us the 7 what? The word last is important. God always has an end. There's always a period when it comes to God and the way He works. When Jesus was dying on the cross, He looked at the crowd. He looked into eternity. And He said, "It is..." Does that mean there's one more step? What did it mean? Finished. But now see, we've been dealing with a God that's merciful, and now we've been dealing with a God that's long-suffering in our lifetime. How many of you ever wonder why people live like they live, and God doesn't do anything about that? Or people who claim to be Christians, and they love the Lord, they're on church rolls, and you never see them anymore, or they miss church for stupid stuff. And you ever wonder why God just doesn't put an end to that? Does anybody wonder that? Because He's long-suffering, and He's patient, and He's merciful. But I'm reading you tonight that one day the long-suffering of God, the patience of God, will be to an end. Some of the kids that come on Wednesday nights, they've been told 15 times, "This is your last time. If you do it again, you're not coming back." And they do it again. And we go pick them up. Y'all nod. And some of the kids are here tonight and say, "You're right." To some of them kids, they keep doing bad stuff. And they keep, y'all keep picking them up. You know why? Because we're long-suffering, we're patient. But eventually, every one of us has an end. Who's ever just been done? What do you do when you're done? Do you ever retreat and go back? Or do you find... Who's just been done? Done. Well, listen. You and I were created in the image of who? Why would we think that God's patience is long-suffering, His mercy one day would not wear out? He's been telling mankind from the very beginning that it would wear out one day. And there's people who will be in this church tonight. There's people who will be in this church Sunday who will leave there lost, not sure they're going to heaven. And God's given them one more chance. But I'm telling everybody, eventually there'll be no more chances. And I'm reading to y'all tonight when there's no more chances. So, He stands, and the angels are standing there. And He said the 7 angels, we've talked about these 7 angels all through the book of Revelations. This is the first time, by the way, they all appear together. It's always another angel, and another angel, and another angel. But tonight, they're all together. They're all standing there. I picture in my mind, single file, standing there. All 7 of them. You're going to see how they're dressed. You're going to see what they're going to be playing in a minute. They're all sitting there and they've got something in their hand. What is it? It's actually a bowl. In verse chapter 16, it's talking about vials. So these angels are holding a bowl. Every one of them's got a bowl in their hand, Jamie. And in these bowls are the what? The plagues of who?
God's plagues.
Thank you, Scott. They're God. I just feel like that nobody's with me tonight. Is it just me? So all these angels have got these seven bowls. They got seven plagues, and they're going to dump them out where? And when's this going to happen? This is Armageddon stuff. Everybody, when we get into Armageddon, you're there tonight. This is Armageddon stuff, okay? Now, I marked one other verse just to run you away for a second. Go one page over in my Bible to chapter 16 and verse 17. I told you we'd cover two chapters one way. Here we are. Here's the 16th chapter, one verse. Every one of the angels had what? And in the bowl was what? So I'm just curious about the last bowl. Let's get to the end. Verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying what? It is finished. It is done. What's done? The tribulation is done. My wrath is done. Listen, when this is done, God's done. He's done punishing the earth. The next scene that will happen after that seventh angel puts out his punishment upon the earth is peace. 1,000 years of peace. The lion and the lamb will lay together. Peace. The baby will stick her hand in the rattlesnake den and not get bit. Peace. The animal kingdom will change. There'll be no police officers. There'll be no jails. Nobody will be addicted to drugs anymore. Satan's in a pit. And the world is going to know world peace. Not American Beauty Contest world peace. But real honest to goodness live world peace. That's what happens after the seventh angel pours it out upon the earth. But until then, it's going to be chaos and catastrophe. Now back to chapter 15. Now I can hurry. Verse 2 through 4. I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. The sea of glass is always talking about around the throne of God. That's what? Anytime you're in the Bible about a sea of glass, it's always talking about around the throne of God. These people are who? These people in verse 2 are who? This helps me if you can answer so I know I can just keep jumping and running ahead because we're running like out of time. These people are who? They're God's people, but they're not us.
Probably the ones being saved during
tribulation. Okay. How do I know that? Look at the reading. The sea of glass that it was mingled with what? Which tells me that they went through trials and tribulation. Remember Peter talked about the fiery trial? Fiery trial? He's talking about people who's going to go through the fiery trials. The fiery trials are trials that cause people to lose their life. These are martyred Christians during the tribulation period. These are not Christians saved today. This is not the church. The church gets raptured out. These are children of God that get saved during the tribulation period when the 144,000 begin to witness and win people to the Lord. Y'all look confused. Not too bad. So that's who these are. And how many of them are they? It looks like It looks like a multitude of people. And the Bible tells you every nation, every tongue, and all that kind of stuff. Man, I don't know where time goes. Let me read you something, please, real fast. I think this is something pretty cool that I found this week, and it's not really squirreling too bad. Go to Matthew chapter 16. We preachers are very guilty about taking a scripture and making it fit our sermons. And we got one of them. I believe we really stretch sometimes. And I'm going to read this one to you. And then I think it'll explain. See, in chapter 16, Peter's having a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus says, people say I'm this and I'm this and I'm this. But Peter, who do you say I am? And Peter answered Jesus how? He said, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, or little stone or pebble. And upon this rock, the solid rock, or the boulder, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Catholics got it wrong. Peter was not the founder of the church. Jesus was. And Jesus calls him the little stone that you can throw, and I'm the one you can't pick up. But I want you to see the next part that we kind of miss around and move around, we preachers do. He says this, I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And y'all know where it is, if it's a quote for me. And the what? So I hear these sermons all the time, Brother Greg, about the church triumphant, it's storming the gates of hell, and we're winning. I'm going to be honest with you. I've visited 11 churches since I've been doing my deputation. I got 6 more to go. And I'm telling you, the churches ain't gaining ground, they're losing ground. Very, very fast. Some churches got for sale signs in the yard because they cannot find pastors anymore. I'm being straight honest with you. But the preacher says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What is the gate of hell? I'm thinking about this week. I'm reading my Bible and I'm thinking, well, what is the gate of hell? Does hell have a gate? I don't know, Brother Steve. Does hell have a gate? It says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Does hell have a gate? Do y'all think hell has a gate?
Yes, sir.
What is the gate? Go with me to Revelation 20. This goes with this a little bit. Because it's talking about these people who are standing on the sea of glass and the sea of glass is mingled with what? Fire. Which shows they escape something. Read all the way down verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. This is chapter 20. And death and hell were cast. Death and hell. Y'all see that? Death and hell were cast. Death and is what is death? Let's keep reading. Death and hell delivered at the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? It's appointed unto man, Jamie, what? What? Now say it to me again. How many times? To point it unto man, what? You know what the gate of hell is? It's death of an unbeliever. And the only thing that will prevail against the gates of hell is salvation. And why are these people standing on this sea of glass that's mingled with fire? Because they've been saved. Not because they went to church. Not because they did good things. These people lost their life because they had to refused to take the mark of the beast. They were killed.
Right.
Jesus said the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against what? Listen. I preached Sunday from Esther. Esther said that I've come here for such a time as this. If I perish, I perish. You know what? Dying's not the worst thing that can happen to you.
Amen.
Nikki died last night. That's not the worst thing that could happen to Nikki Eastep.
That's right.
Nikki's with the Lord today.
Amen.
Why? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against God's saved people. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm telling you something. Look what he said in rest of Revelation 20, just to prove my point. Whosoever, or verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is what? Second death. Who is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Folks, if there's ever one thing you need to know, Revelation is an awesome book to study. I love studying the book of Acts. I love preaching from other books in the Bible. But if you're not saved, what you need to know tonight, number one and foremost, you better know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and your name better be in the book. Because you're looking at a time in history that when you die without Jesus, the gates of hell will take you in. And you'll know what the second death is. What is the gates of hell? The Bible said in Luke 16, the rich man died and also was buried. And he lifted up his eyes, being what? How did he get there? He had to pass through the gate of death first. Y'all with me? These people died, but they did not go to hell. They were with the Lord. Rapture's already taken place, but these people are with the Lord after their death. Now, all of it in a nutshell, very fast, here you go. And they sing the song of Moses. What's the song of Moses? It's in Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. I got to read you one stanza of that song. Who can sing it for me? Can you play it, Kay? Can you lead it, Jesse, the song of Moses? Well, I'm going to read you one stanza of it. I like the last. I like the four stanzas of all the verses. I like the four stanzas of Amazing Grace. When we've been there, I like the last verse of Psalms, don't you? Here's the last verse of the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. Rejoice, O nations, with this people, for He will avenge the blood of His servants, and will render vengeance to His adversaries, and will be merciful unto His land and to His people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. That's the song of Moses. What was the song of Moses? That God's on His throne and punishment has come to the land and God's will is being done. And just has been got right, made right. I like it when it's made right. Don't you? I like it when it's all made right. And God will make it right. Here's a couple more verses from the song in Revelation 15. He said this, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints, who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name. For Thou art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. I don't have the music to that, Kay, but that's a pretty awesome song. Four stanzas tells the works of God, the ways of God, the worthiness of God, and the worship of God. What are we here for tonight? Wow. Your daughter had it right tonight in class. Kay Linton come to class tonight. We were sitting back there and said, my daughter Leanne has got a question. So she asked me the question, why did God make us? How old is Leanne?
Four.
What a question. Why did God make us? And I began to tell her, and the only way I could find a good illustration was, I said, do you like your mommy and daddy? She said, I do. Do you like when mom and daddy do good things for you? I do. What makes mom and dad happy? When she's happy. Does that make you happy? When you see her smiling, does that make you smile? Why did God create us, Jesse? for His pleasure. Aren't they a pleasure? Now wait till she's middle school, we'll have another talk. But right now, she's a pleasure and a blessing. But they do grow up, and they do 12, 13, 14. But then they become adults, and it gets better. But there'll be pleasures. There'll be pleasureful times. Isn't God good? And I'm reading this song. These angels are singing this song. I'm seeing them standing side by side across through here. Now here's where they're at, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. We're done. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Woo! And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen, having the breasts and girded in golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the what? And from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were what? Who was the voice that came out of that temple? The voice of God. Same God that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. High and lifted up. And the smoke filled the temple. John gets to look right up into heaven. And come out of God's temple. Not the temple in Jerusalem. But I'm talking about the temple in heaven where God's throne is. And God opens up the door to His temple. And He's able to look inside. And coming out the door, there's seven angels. And they've got the wrath of God in their hands. And no one is going to be able to come into that temple until all the plagues have been poured out and God's wrath is put onto the earth. Now I love the next thing that happens. Jesus taught the disciples to pray this way. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Now that will stop right there. This church is not the kingdom of God. It's up there. But, Kay, after this seventh angel pours out its plague, which is the battle of Armageddon, and the terrain of the world has changed. And rivers are opened up. The Dead Sea's opened up. And earthquakes. And you can read all that kind of stuff, 16 and 17, in your Bible. Then, God's going to come. And He's going to make peace on the earth. And He's going to bring His kingdom here. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. How do I know His kingdom's not here tonight, Kenny? Because all I've got to do is watch the news and look outside this door. Chaos, sin, it's a messed up world. But His kingdom is coming. So what does this have to do with me tonight? Really not a lot. Because you're here today and you're saved. That's good. You're looking for the rapture, not the mark of the beast. Preacher, do you think the Antichrist, we never asked you, do you think the Antichrist could be alive right now? I think he probably is. Now, are we sure what the mark of the beast is? I'm not sure we know. But it's amazing some of the things that these computers do. Last time I went to Israel, when we walked through, we had to have our passports out. And we had to walk up and slide our passport. And we had to put a thumbprint. And they looked at us, looked at our passport, went. Some of the Jews walked up and they put their face, their chin on a little thing like this, and they looked right inside the thing. They looked at the retinas and they passed them through the line. No passport. You think that's the mark of the beast? I don't know. I can't tell you. I know this. I don't have to worry about the mark of the beast, Kay. Because I'm saved. That's not for me. God's not appointed any of His people to wrath. But if you're here today and you're a non-believer, I'm just telling you what you're going to face one day. The wrath of God. The same God that we talk about loving and doing all this good stuff, that same God has got anger. It's building up and building up and building up, and one day it's going to be poured out upon this earth. And this earth will not be able to take it. And billions of people would die. You're doom and gloom, preacher. No, I'm trying to be straight up honest tonight. If there's ever a reason that you all need to walk out of this building and be telling people about Jesus, it would be that reason right there. Because if you're saved, the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. So here's the question while you stand. Do you know anybody that don't have gate protection? Caught in the security business. Is anybody here know somebody that if they died tonight, the gates of hell would open up and let them in? Let me tell you what you better do. You better be talking to them. Because eventually, the last invitation will be given. All the Bible tells us I'm accountable to is to warn the wicked from their wicked ways. If they don't accept it, their blood's on their own hands. But if I fail to warn them, Ezekiel chapter 3, 16, 17, 15, 16, 17, if I fail to warn the wicked from their wicked ways, their blood will be on my hand. I know you got to go, but you won't get to see me next week. So let me tell you this. In closing, in Revelation chapter 20, we just saw whoever's not found written in the book of life, what happened to them? You ever read the first thing that happens in Revelation 21? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Well, I don't think there's any tears in heaven. Who told you that? It's not until you get to Revelation 21 that the Bible says that God wipes all tears from their eyes. I think part of our judgment, W.C., we might see people cast into the lake of fire. That scares me just a little bit tonight. Brother Dean's looking at me thinking, I hope you're wrong. That sounds like nonsense, Brother Steve. Y'all think about it. He says, if we fail to warn the wicked from their wicked way, their blood will be on our hands. He was a neighbor, he's an idiot. I didn't really want him saved anyway. Definitely didn't want him in church. Really? Let's talk about that at the judgment. When Jesus hung there, He wasn't willing that any would perish, but all come to repentance. So let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank You tonight for loving us. Lord, Revelations is just like a book that we just soon skip over sometimes because of some of the graphic, some of the horrible stuff, and we just want to talk about John 3:16. Lord, I think that Revelations is a book for evangelism. That would get us to get off our laziness and maybe talk to people about what's going to happen to people who don't know Jesus. Lord, give us a greater desire to see people saved. Give us more patience with people. Give us opportunity. Lord, I pray that we'll walk through the open doors. In Jesus' name I pray tonight. Amen.